Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we tell stories about and then debate a controversial topic.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing information throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Today's Side Notes will be presented by me, Greg, and Rachel.
Hey, friends. Let's get into it.
Today, we're talking about stress. We start out with some stories of our most stressful moments in life, like when Greg was a high school teacher in England with the craziest classroom ever, while I reminisce about traveling through Bangladesh and having a moment where I honestly thought we were going to die. And in the second half of the podcast, we go off on stress and how bad it is for you, and then give you our top 6 tips for dealing with stress and anxiety.
Hello, Mitchell. We are going to sound nasally today.
As always.
Oh my gosh, Mitch is... How long have you been sick? 2 weeks now?
No, like a month.
A month?
But constantly it's a different sickness, but some type of cold. But now I was finally getting over it, and now my throat is swollen.
Do you think we're just giving it back and forth to each other until the end of time?
I think we're like transferring it through our dog, Ernie. Like we kiss him and snuggle him, and then
Are you serious?
I think that's what's happening.
Is it because I make out with Ernie every day?
Well,
he got
sick too. Our dog, Ernie, was sick. It just runs in the family. Why are we always sick?
Literally disgusting. And what is it causing us? Stress. Something we were talking about today. Because we're trying to do work and it's just, it's so hard. Do you have a comment that's maybe nice and going to fill us with joy?
Sort of, yeah. Comment corner. Okay, so this is from at Alex E. Darko. His name's Paul on Twitter. And he said, hashtag SideNote Podcast is again on point. It's so important to talk about Grindr so openly and to call out the racism and vile words that are ubiquitous on there. As someone who struggled with their weight all their life, the amount of abuse I've had on Grindr is vile.
Oh,
he actually
God.
Sent a couple other tweets as well, but I'll start with there. You guys can always check it out by using the hashtag.
Yeah, because you weren't in the Grindr episode. Did you agree?
Did
you listen and agree?
I didn't listen to it. No, I'm joking. I listened
to it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, a lot of interesting points. Like, I had different perspectives and kind of like you guys, kind of bounced between the two, but
verse as well.
What?
You were verse as
oh,
well.
Yeah, I'm verse. It was definitely there are some pretty vile words and thoughts that get spread around Grindr. And it is weird to me that, like, at least for so long, maybe not anymore, that was just like acceptable to have categories of what you're interested in based on race, based on body type, based on those things. So yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, the queer and like especially like gay male community, from an outsider, if you're not in it, you're probably like, oh, they all get along, everything's fine. But when you're in it, you're like, there's so much interesting. Oh my gosh, my voice. Just like, I'm like, what virus is this? There's so many like idiosyncrasies of, you know, very damaging dark things. So it is good to talk about it in all communities.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so I will go first. It's about stress, something that I think we are all feeling, right? The whole world,
yes,
right?
Everyone. We evolved. At the end of the year is coming up too. So I feel like everyone starts reflecting on their year and going like, oh my God, I didn't do all the things I thought I was going to do this year, and it's about to be another year, so it's a very stressful time.
I was supposed to read 10 books and I'm panicking because I need to read 4 more, but the one I'm reading is like 900 pages and I'm just like, why did you do this to yourself? So I've been like asking you to give me suggestions,
like,
of short books
yeah.
right, like the new Stephen Hawking book.
Yes.
Okay, so the thing I was learning about this week, I find it so interesting. I read a lot of like these new science magazines we talk about all the time about how they literally induce stress in rats. So like when they're trying to study stress, they need to stress the rats out. And it's like, it's really, I mean, obviously awful, but in my head, I'm like, good, we need to do this for
right,
science.
Sometimes you're like, if it was me, I'd be pissed.
I know. And I'm like, when I think about animal rights, like activists, I'm like, okay, I get
it's
why
like,
they're
good thing
mad.
They don't care about rats.
No, well, some do. That's what I mean. No, a lot of people do. And a lot of monkeys too. Anyways, off topic, but what they would do is they stress them out by like giving them, you know, random scenarios, like blocking them in small spaces, giving, like, not giving them food, they're giving them a lot of food, stopping them from play. Then sometimes at night, they'll do all the things they do during the day. Like, anyways, they literally
right.
cause
torture.
Yeah, essentially it is torture, and it, like, it's supposed to mimic literally the way we sometimes live our lives, which is insane. But they found this new thing, it's called Neuritrin or Neuritin. And essentially it's like, there a lot of the times when we deal with stress and have depression, we use antidepressants. But there's this actual gene, the Neuritin gene, which codes for a protein, which they realize is so important in like the plasticity of our brain. And when we're depressed, like with these rats, when they're chronically stressed, this gene sort of decreases, this protein decreases. And so what they found is when they actually, in the stressed rats, were able to induce it, induce the Neuritin gene and therefore this protein, their depression would decrease, their stress would decrease, because it allowed their neurons in their brain to like regrow better.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it's sort of like they're thinking this could be a really good tactic, because antidepressants don't work for a lot of people. It's only 30% of people where it actually makes them come out of their depression or anxiety. So now they're like, okay, there's this new gene, this new literal protein that in these rats that we've ruined their lives, if we can actually induce this protein, it has like, it's having a remarkable effect. So it's just like an example of how stress is something that science is always trying to figure out. And there's obviously therapies we want for it, because here we are. And it's a really detrimental thing. I think we joke about being stressed all the time, but I don't think I have a mood disorder. And so I know that there's a lot of people out there who have it a lot worse than we do, who rely on medication and science to help, you know, and stressed rats.
Mm-hmm. Stress. Yes. I mean, it's ironic in some ways that the rats are only stressed because of humans in the first place. And also, we are only stressed because of humans in the first place, too, because we've created a world in which we are meant to live up to things that are so difficult to live up to. And we're constantly told we have to work, work, work. It's just like, humans are the problem here.
Also, like,
for humans and rats.
I know. And I was reading about hunter-gatherers. Again, I'm like obsessing over them because it's in this book I'm reading. And it's like the amount of work that they did for the actual like whole foods that they got was like so minimal. Like they'd only work like 3 hours a day and they were so much healthier than us.
I need that life.
I know. And we've created this crazy world where we work so much, we're stressed all the time, and we don't even like
people
eat properly.
People die from overworking. It's crazy. Okay, I'm going to tell you about a way that you can minimize your anxiety
stress?
And stress.
Oh, give it to me, baby.
Study that came out this month. And it was Tetris. Tetris, allegedly, apparently, based on this study, is a great distraction for an anxious mind because it leads to something called a flow state.
Like you get satisfied or a flow state? Oh, flow state. I've heard of
flow state. So it's not exclusive to Tetris, the flow state, but it's a very good way to get into a flow state, which means you're really absorbed into something and you lose a sense of space and time, which ultimately results in less anxiety and stress. So a lot of people who play music or paint, or when you a lot of people who play video games in general, like you get into such such a mindset that your brain kind of loses
track
of
I need
what's
that more
wrong.
Tetris.
And so it's actually one of the reasons why multitasking is so bad, because your brain can never get into flow, because you're constantly you're not getting deep enough into anything. And so that's why our phones and social media can be such a distraction and keep us anxious, because you're never able to sort of escape that.
But what if I'm playing Tetris on my phone? That's okay.
Yeah, if you're not getting notifications and getting pulled
into
other stuff.
What about Snake? Tetris is
too
hard.
Snake? Well, it should be a game that's relatively takes a lot of your attention.
Candy Crush?
For Tetris, you're fully absorbed, right? Like, it's a pretty heavy.
And there's something
task.
So satisfying about that line, like when you get the line and it decreases and goes away, that's like a stress relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just like, minimizing.
Another interesting tidbit about Tetris is that it's been used to reduce the impact of seeing something traumatic and help PTSD.
What?
So often, I had read this anecdotally online, but sometimes when a kid might see something really traumatic happen, like
they're like, here, just play Tetris.
They will literally give them a game to play just to focus them on something else.
Wait, after the event or like coping? Like
right
after.
But also it's been a promising treatment for PTSD patients as well. And it also has been used to help reduce cravings in dieters.
Whoa, Tetris, who knew?
Because it just fully pulls your brain away from that thing that's probably distracting you and keeping your mind occupied and stressed. Anyway,
sometimes I look at people on the bus, like when I'm like, you know, deep into my stressed out podcast about how democracy is dying, and they're like playing games on their phone, and I'm like, why are you wasting your time? But they're probably like, get off my back. I'm literally not stressed. You're learning about how like climate change is ruining the world. Maybe you need to play some Tetris.
Yes, truly. We should play some more Tetris. I really don't play Tetris ever. I hate that game, but maybe I should play
it. That sounds like... You're like, I'm stressed and sick all the time. I hate Tetris.
Yeah, truly.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
We are talking all about stress today and stories that stress us out. And then later on, we're going to have a little go off on stress and talk about some tactics and techniques for dealing with anxiety and stress.
Yes,
so that will
please.
Be interesting if you stick around until the other half of the podcast. But right now, we're going to talk about some stories that had us really stressed out. Mine is actually a story that Greg and I experienced together. I think it is the most stressful experience I've ever had. But I want to preface it with, like, in retrospect, I love it. It was amazing.
What?
Because I don't want to, like, sound like I'm disparaging. So remember, we went to Bangladesh maybe three years.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe this was like
Bangladesh.
And to India, but we started in Bangladesh and met with a handful of friends there. And, you know, the first couple signs of it being a stressful trip were, like, you know, going to the airport and then the girl being like, do you have relatives in Bangladesh?
No, she said, are you guys journalists?
And we were like, no. And then she said, do you have family there? And we said, no. And she said, I've literally never met anyone going to Bangladesh for fun. This was the flight attendant as we checked in.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell if she was being serious or not. Like, we took it in. We were like, that's weird.
Yeah,
okay. And, like, that can't be true, but
interesting.
Whatever.
Next little sign was, then we had to stop over in, I don't know.
Istanbul.
Was it in Istanbul? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're at this, like, major international hub of an airport, and we're like, oh, we didn't take out money. Like, let's go maybe go to one of those foreign exchange places and take out some money so we don't have to rely on cards.
We wanted the Bangladeshi currency.
Yes, and then we went and asked, and they laughed in our face, like, why on earth would they carry that? No one's going there.
I know, then we were like, okay, wait, there's enough signs that, like, I think we started to get nervous then.
Yes, but we're like, okay, well, whatever, we at least have our friends there. So, we arrive in Bangladesh, and we're both really excited. Like, we are pretty good travelers. We've gone to some intense places before.
And there was a guy on the flight who was, like, a British Bangladeshi man who was really nice, but he kind of saw us and came over like right as we were getting off and was like, okay, what's your deal?
Like, why are you here?
Yeah, and we were like, oh, we're here just like for fun. And he was like, okay, come with me. And he kind of led us out
to, like,
of the plane.
Stuff, yeah. Like, and he kind of didn't give us a warning. It wasn't like he was warning, but he was just
actually like, you are
gonna
love
it's
this.
It's an amazing country. Just, like, you know, brace yourself for a very different experience than maybe what you would experience in other traveling countries.
Exactly.
And so our first experience landing in Bangladesh is that we get our bags. Not only are there already millions of mosquitoes biting us the second we arrive there, but we're, like, trying to figure out, okay, where do we actually get...
Wait, what do you mean millions of mosquitoes?
Don't you remember? Like, the airport's kind of, like, outside where you get your bags.
And
so there were, like, a ton of bugs
there were lots of bugs. Yeah. And no one was affected, and we were just like, ah,
there's
so many.
We're just, like, the North Americans who are just, like, freaking out already.
Oh, yeah, it was outside.
Then we're like, okay, we have to get a cab. We go to this area.
Wait, you forgot the quill.
Wait, what's the quill?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So literally
like
the
immigration.
Guy. Yeah, the guy led us to immigration. Okay, so they're like, you need to come to this place to sign into the country. And there were kind of people who ran after us and grabbed us and pulled us to this literal table where this man, very like stoic, wise looking person, opened up a big like Harry Potter like bound book. And took out a quill,
yeah,
like a literal
computer,
and wrote, like, grabbed our passports and wrote, like, Gregory Brown, like, yeah. HB, like, whatever my passport number was. And I remember thinking, like, if anything goes wrong, like, they're going to have to, like, come and, like, find the page that documents that we were here. There were no computers. Sorry. I just thought that was an important, yeah. like, eye-opening experience.
I've never gone to a country where they wrote down you arrived.
Like, they're not
going
to be able to control F my name. My mom is just going to have to hope things go okay. Okay, so now we're getting the cab.
Now we're getting a cab. And, you know, there's language barriers. So we're, like, confused where to go in the first place. And finally, like, we're seeing some people get out and just go into cars. But then we find this little...
Everyone was just...
Just knew what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone knew. We were just like, okay, we finally find this little booth and we're like, we don't really know where we have to go, right? I think we have an address.
We had an address, but they were looking at it like, no idea where this is. And we were like, wait, what?
We didn't have internet.
It was called like Love Hotel. I was like, wait. It was called Love Hotel.
So they're like, okay. We'll get you a cab driver. Just wait here. We see people coming and going like so much more than us.
And one guy goes, are you here for cricket? We're like, wait, no, what? They're like, oh, there's a cricket
definitely
game.
Definitely not.
Yeah, they're just like, why are these two like white people here with like Canada backpacks and like glowing faces?
So, finally the guy's like, okay, your ride's here. Walks us over to a car. It's like a very hectic, busy place.
Insane. The most densely populated city in the world, Dhaka. That's where we are, Dhaka, Bangladesh. Mm-hmm.
And we put our bags into this car that they tell us to and get in. And who's driving the car? But a like 14-year-old child, maybe even younger, and his like friend who's sitting in the front
seat. Who's probably 10.
Literally.
And we were like, we just waited 40 minutes at what we thought was a taxi booth to be led to children.
Like, and also we get in and there are no seatbelts in this car with these children.
And they're giggling.
Yeah. Like, as though we're being duped somehow, but we're not. But
are we being like trolled? Like, is this a joke? But then we look around and the chaos, I'm like, no, yeah, there's kids driving everywhere.
And so they start driving and it was honestly the scariest drive of my life. Because they were full speeding, like, and no seatbelt, full
and
speeding.
And laughing.
Really
yeah. And also, like,
we were like, do you know where we're going?
Saying, like, Love Hotel, and they kind of laugh in our faces and then just, like, keep driving. I am going to explain to you what was happening to us in our bodies when we got into a cab driven by minors with no seatbelts. Essentially, we're going to explain what happens to us and to you when you're stressed. The visual information of our surroundings would be sent to our amygdalas, and this portion of the brain is what contributes to emotional processing. Then, if the amygdala perceives the danger, it will communicate this immediately to the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus acts as a command center. First, it activates the sympathetic nervous system by sending signals to the adrenal glands. This leads to the release of adrenaline. Adrenal glands, adrenaline, get it? Which increases heart rate and blood pressure, ensuring that the blood gets pushed to the muscles. Adrenaline, this chemical, also causes breathing to speed up and airways to open wider to ensure that the body is getting as much oxygen to the brain as possible to increase alertness and sharpen your senses. Lastly, adrenaline also causes the release of blood sugar and fats for an immediate supply of energy. This is all called the fight or flight response. And since Mitch and I both couldn't fight or flight our way out of this one, we had to just sit there staring at each other, extremely stressed. Following that first surge of adrenaline, the hypothalamus then activates the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, also simply known as the HPA axis. This system kicks in if danger persists and works to sustain the body's stress response by keeping the sympathetic nervous system activated and alert. So as we continued to be stressed as we flew through the busy streets of Dhaka, again in a cab without seatbelts, being driven by children who were giggling at us, our hypothalamuses would release CRH. That stands for corticotropin releasing hormone. This would then travel to our pituitary glands to release ACTH, which stands for adrenocorticotropic hormone. This hormone then travels to the adrenal glands, prompting the release of cortisol and keeping our bodies revved up and on high alert. We both remember this car ride so vividly, even though it was so long ago, because of cortisol and all of these hormonal pathways in our body making us super stressed but also super alert. Only when we finally made it to the Love Hotel did our cortisol levels start to fall. Then our parasympathetic nervous system would kick in, dampening the stress response, which settles our body down. And this is also responsible for the opposite of fight or flight, which is rest and digest. Because we now felt safe and not stressed, due to this rest and digest response, we likely wanted to have a big meal and a big nap. And then I remember this made me feel, I love maps and I'm a spatially aware person. And I had Google Street Viewed prior to going the hotel. And when we got near-ish to the hotel, according to them, they kind of looked at us with no English, and we're just like, we don't know. It's around here somewhere. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like, we've just driven.
We could be
most
anywhere.
Dense.
Yeah.
Like, most, and I was just like, oh my God. And I looked and I had like that reflection in my head where I was like, that's like the corner. And if we turn left,
so
it's right
lucky.
There. And then they turned left and we walked in and it was
there.
But it was like,
there
also,
was that moment where I was like, we're just trapped in the middle of a city and have no way of figuring out where we are.
Because we didn't have cell phones.
Also, it's not very set up. It's not a very well traveled place for tourists. So there wasn't even like Wi-Fi that we could just like go to a cafe or something. Like, unlike India, which we went to later, was so much more clearly built for tourism.
If you want to go to India and have it feel like a relaxing vacation, go to Bangladesh first, which is what we did, and then arrive in India. We actually went from Bangladesh to India on foot. Remember when we crossed that border? That was fascinating. One thing I will say, Bangladesh was fascinating.
Oh, it was amazing.
Once we found our friends.
Well, even then though, like that whole first day of our experience there was amazing looking back, but it was so stressful. Like,
oh my God.
The city's just wild. Like, there isn't the infrastructure that we're used to, but there's just millions of people walking in cars and vehicles everywhere, and it's so hectic when you're not used to it that we were like so lost and confused. And do you remember like at the end of the day we need to like get to this boat because we were like going to travel to this area called like the Sundarbans, which is like a really cool mangrove giant forest.
And we need to, again, speak about how nice Bangladesh was. There was a man who literally took us around every day and gave us a tour of Bangladesh. And he said he just wanted to practice his English. And as skeptical tourists, we were like, no, this is for money. He didn't want money.
Yeah,
he literally just wanted to hang out with us and show his beautiful country.
Yeah.
And even
everyone was
so
kind
nice.
To us.
And actually we would like go into schools and the principals would meet with us and talk to us. It was like the coolest experience ever. But he actually, remember at one point he was like, we need to get back to the hotel right now because it's about to be
like
rush hour.
Yeah.
And rush hour there is on foot rush hour. And he was like, if you are out
you're
in
trampled.
The street, you will, the flow of people will pull you in a direction potentially away from him that you would be
like
literally
lost.
Screwed because you wouldn't be able to turn left if the crowd was going
right.
And I remember walking back and thinking, wait, it's starting to get dense.
It's such
we
an
need
interesting
to hurry
dynamic
up.
Of seeing it happen.
And I was just silently like head down walking and people were obviously also like, who is this like white Santa Claus boy? And we're like, follow. It was crazy. Anyways, but now you're talking about going to the boat.
So they go to the boat, we get in these, what are they, what would you call them? Like, they're not.
The people driving them or they were on a bike
with a little,
and we were behind them.
Like a, what
sitting.
Do you call that? It's not a tuk-tuk.
But that's what they call them in India but that's motorized.
Okay, yeah.
A tuk-tuk, but the person's actually biking.
Bicycling us. So we're in the middle of this like crazy traffic trying to go to a port. We have no idea. Our friends are all in different, like there's maybe like six of us or maybe eight or something. Like
yeah,
that.
Eight
so
of
we're
us.
All in different ones
two,
mixed. And our bags, Greg and I's backpacks were so big that we had to lean out of this like tuk-tuk because we couldn't fit. And it's like the most insane traffic I've ever seen. When we were driving, another like family was in a tuk-tuk and it fell over and like a lady and her children fell out of it onto the street. And I was like, we're going to die. Like, this is going to be the death of us. And we don't know where we are. We can't see. We don't know if we're going to
the
right place.
Well, that was also when we started to have that same flow thing where I was like, I can see these like freaking white people's heads who we know.
It's like, don't lose sight
of it. And then all of a sudden they would start to lose sight of them because there was, I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of thousands of vehicles and people, and it's working in their own way. Like, the flow is moving in one direction, but you're right. People are falling. The stakes were so, and I remember looking at you, and we had that moment where we were just like,
this is so,
we're
just
we're out of our control.
Other.
We're out of control. Like, what?
Just like, we just have to we just don't have a choice really at this point. We just have to go with it.
You're right, where I think that was maybe like one of the most stressful moments of our lives. Yeah, I felt very out of body.
Yeah, and you have, you're like you said, no control, uncertainty.
I can't imagine my pit stains.
Yeah, like, and it was so hot. Like, everything about it, like, that's why I say looking back, the country was amazing. We were safe. Like, it was, I never felt my safety in terms of anything other than, like, the insane sheer madness of what would have been fine
like
for
there
everyone
was,
else.
I felt like there were things out of my control because...
And getting lost in a country where you wouldn't be able to necessarily easily figure out where
you
were. Yeah,
but people were so kind and generous that they would help you. Yeah. But I was like, the actual, infrastructure of this place is so unbelievable and what I'm not used to from like the most privileged part of Canada, mm-hmm. that it was like whether or not, like, no one's trying to dupe us here, but the flow of traffic is so insane that like something easily could happen out of all of our control.
Yeah.
But we got there. We got to the boat.
There. I do feel like this story goes on forever. Like,
forever.
I'm going to stop here because it was like a few days of it being
we
like really intense.
We should spread out our Bangladesh like stories throughout different podcasts because they are fascinating.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most interesting
most
trips
memorable
I've ever been
trip
on.
I've ever been on. The most fascinating place. And honestly, one thing I will say is that there is so many, like, there's such an industry there of the people who literally make all of our clothes. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot to learn about, like, the commodities that we use. And it really taught me a lot about how the world sort of, like, utilizes other countries, for whether for good or for bad. Like, it was the most educational, fascinating thing
but
in the world.
In terms of stress, like, you know, we face like, work stress, but this was, like, real sort of, like hunter-gatherer stress
all the
of
time.
In the moment thinking you might die.
Yeah. And also, like, having, like, the weirdest, like, constipation slash, like, the diet was really interesting, too. We can go through all aspects of science with this. Okay, so my story, I feel like I partook in that story a lot.
Yeah, that was
like
a duo story.
That's always going to be both of our stories. It's both of our narratives. It's just both of
our history.
So I'm going to do mine really fast, but I have lots of stress stories and also lots of other stories about teaching. So I was a teacher in a small mining town in the southern tip of the UK. I've maybe talked about this before, but this school, again, like 60% of the students' parents had never worked. It was a really interesting eye-opening experience for me for behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, bad-behaved kids in Canada were nothing compared to bad-behaved kids in Britain. Like, I'm like, it is not the sip and tea part of Britain that you picture in the movies. Like, this was insane. Like, I learned to love it, but anyways, it was crazy. So on my first day as a teacher, trying to, like, you know, wide-eyed, like, I'm gonna change these kids' lives. Like, it was our first lesson, and these were the oldest kids. They were in what would be the equivalent of grade 10. And I was like, okay, the first thing you always need to do is teach them about Bunsen burners, because that's going to be a really important part of science moving forward. Mm-hmm. That involves fire, might I add. So on the first day, they walked in and I had everything laid out, all the Bunsen burners, the matches, the lighters. And I could see their faces look at me like, okay, who is this guy, first of all? Second of all, he thinks that he can give us lighters. You know what I mean? Like, I was like so unaware of how bad it could be. I start trying to teach. No one's listening. And I realize there's people at the back who are literally just like using the lighters. And I probably within like, I start to get really stressed because I'm trying to like do my starter.
Yeah,
but then
like
I'm also
managing,
like
a group of kids, period, even when they're well behaved is difficult.
Exactly. And I literally was speaking in a certain way. Like, you know, I have this idealized version, and like the stress and the pit stain started to like really come on when I realized that they were like burning their lap. They were secretly burning their lab coats.
Like at the back of class?
At the back of class, you tie the back of your lab coat. There was like a kerfuffle. And so two of the like bullyish ones was like burning the lab coat of the one who was maybe the like less.
Right. Like,
it was.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A mix of bullying and fire and all these things, and everyone's like laughing, and I'm like, wait, I immediately have to be like, okay, I'm so stressed, but I have to figure out how to manage this. So I have to like stop everything. And they were so interesting, and they actually in Britain divide their classes and they like based on tests. So because I'm a new teacher, I would get level 5, which would be like the most problematic kids all in one class.
That's
so
insane.
I slowly realized that they're all like these like hilariously like bad
like
kids,
troublemaker kids,
like trouble kids, and they all now have lighters and they're burning things. So I stop things and I actually kind of get mad. That's my instinct. I'm like, what do I do? And I said that I was pissed. I was like, I'm so pissed because I wanted to create an environment where we could learn, but right. Now I realize I can't trust you,
away from you. Yeah.
With fire. And pissed in the UK is like a word that is like actually really bad to say. Like they would say
like
other words,
swear word.
They would say other words that I don't even want to say on this podcast that wouldn't like, be a big deal. Like teachers wouldn't care, but then pissed like, is really bad. And they told on me. They literally told their other
after
teachers.
They had lit fire in your class.
Exactly. So I was stressed about them. And then I had to deal with the stress of like a person coming and being like, these kids said that you swore. And then the next day I was so pissed. I was like, you told on me. I'm like, you literally lit each other on fire. Anyways, I'm literally getting stressed out about it now.
Still pissed.
There it means drunk, but I think it also means something else. I don't know. I mean, we've already had a really long story, so I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to bring out these stories throughout. But those kids were really, they were the worst class ever, but I learned to freaking love them. They're all etched in my head so hard, especially the ones that start to burn people.
Stress can have us feeling all kinds of ways. Be it angry, sad, irritable, frustrated, even scared. And different people have different responses to stress. Stress hormones acting on the brain can increase aggression, but this isn't the case for everybody. One study had healthy participants give a speech in front of a panel of judges while being monitored in a laboratory. They were then asked how they felt. While many remained calm, several were left feeling angry and anxious. These participants showed increases in interleukin-6, a marker for inflammation. This could help explain why some people with high levels of stress experience chronic health problems. In others, stress can bring out impulsive and addictive behavior. The stress response and drug reward pathway have similar neural circuitry. For example, cocaine stimulates many of the same systems that are activated during stress. Individuals who are addicts often display abnormal HPA axis activity. A reminder that the HPA axis stands for hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, which is our body's central stress response system. There are sex differences as well. Researchers have found that males may withdraw and turn inward, and females may seek out support. This response might have to do with how the brain sees faces. Under acute stress, men show decreased activity in the part of the brain that helps them decipher facial emotions, like whether someone is angry or sad, but in women, the opposite was true. Meanwhile, stress and depression can ride side by side. One study found that, unsurprisingly, job insecurity contributed to increases in home stress, which was then associated with increased anxiety and depression. Another study measured cortisol levels in clinically depressed and non-depressed participants. They found that the baseline levels of cortisol were very similar, and when you put the two in a stressful situation, there was a similar spike in cortisol levels as well. What was different was those with depression had much higher cortisol during the recovery period, essentially meaning that when you are depressed, the effects of stress can linger for much longer.
Hey friends, I want to tell you about a podcast that I think you're going to love. It's called Science Versus. When it comes to controversial topics, there's a lot of opinions, angry uncles, and Facebook posts. But then there's science. Science Versus is the show that finds out what's fact, what's not, and what's somewhere in between. Like, how worried should you be about plastic straws? Can essential oils really make you feel better? And should you go vegan? It's honestly one of my favorite podcasts in the whole wide world, and I'm not just saying that. You can find Science Versus wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Science VS in your favorite podcast app. All right, so we're going to have a little go-off section on stress, because who needs it? Who wants it, right?
We don't need it anymore.
We don't need it, and we're going to tell you all the reasons why we don't need it.
We don't need it anymore.
And then, following that, we're going to come up, we have a list of some of the best ways to deal with stress and anxiety that
scientifically.
We're going to go through. Scientifically. Scientifically proven, or, you know, backed up with scientific
evidence.
We've
done many a video on how to deal with stress. That's why we're never stressed.
So, where do you want to start, Greg? Like, usually we have a debate section, but we're just going to rip into stress.
Stress? We don't need you. Fight or flight, okay? That means to fight or to flight. That's like from when we were hunter-gatherers. If we saw a cheetah, I would need said thing, right? Because if I see a cheetah, I'm going to probably fight it because they're really fast, right? I'm not going
to
run.
Yeah, like, so, well, you're going to try to run. And
I need the adrenaline. I need the blood to my muscles.
Great time to have some stress.
Exactly.
Great time.
But know what I have never seen in my life except behind a perfectly human-made barrier? A cheetah.
Yeah, so, except unless it's like a tweet. And it's like that's where most of my stress comes from is the internet, which I don't need to run from.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're like, oh, okay. I was like, where are we going with it? I'm like, you tweeted a cheetah? I don't get it. But okay, you mean like your stress comes from not animals attacking
you. Yeah, and it's like, do I really need to have like my stomach drop, my like eyes dilate and my sweat go amok just from looking at a tweet? Like, I don't need that. I don't need this stress. It is not functional. It's like a vestigial organ, and stress, you can go away. Just like, we don't need our appendix. We don't need our wisdom teeth. What about our little baby toes? It's like all these things are mixed in with stress, and we don't need that in our life.
Also, okay, 80% of adults in the U.S. suffer from daily stress, right? That is ridiculous. Again, we don't need stress. We're saying it here one more time. We don't need it. I know that maybe we need it so that like we get stressed near a cliff and we don't walk off.
Yeah, I'm into stress at that moment.
No, but you know what? I actually think I'm smart enough to know to not walk off a cliff. I don't think I even need stress in that moment. I think if I saw a cliff, I'd be like, okay, I think if I walk off that, I will fall to my death. I know gravity will make me die.
It's like, I'll just use my brain.
My brain. I'm smart enough. I don't need to have a full-on panic attack exactly all the time. I don't need to have a panic attack when I see someone from high school and I think that I have to talk to them.
And
you know?
Like, on top of that, just stress of our everyday lives actually like damages our blood vessels
arteries.
It it's like we have notes here. It increases your blood pressure. It raises the risk of heart attacks and strokes. It's like, this is so silly. Like, okay, it makes sense, right? Like you said, when we're like actually in fear of death. But my day-to-day stress is like, I have so much work to do. It's not going to kill me, but like my stress is making it kill me. How ironic is that? Like our stress was designed to prevent us from dying, and now it's causing us to die.
It's causing diabetes, decreasing our immune system.
Susceptibility to colds.
Illnesses, allergies, even cancer, GI issues, you name it. Sleep issues, fertility issues, depression, memory problems. This is what stress is causing all of us to have. And again, we don't need it because all we do is sit around and type on computers. We barely move. If a bus hits us, a bus hits us. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I have time to even be stressed about that. A bus is just going to plow me over. I don't need this physiological response anymore because I haven't fought or run from anything ever except my own problems.
So let's just take a moment to have a eulogy for stress because we're kicking it out of our lives. Right now, everyone listening.
We are Lamarckian theory getting rid of stress. We're getting rid of it right now. We're getting rid of it. We're going to decide.
What did you mean by that?
Like, because obviously we have to evolve away from stress because we don't need it anymore. But just Lamarck, like, we're going to just decide. Right. We're going to push our necks up.
Doing.
We're going to get long necks. Do you not understand Lamarck?
No,
we'll
I didn't understand the allusion to stress. But let's just, okay, everyone.
Do you not understand Lamarck? Are you telling me you don't understand Lamarck?
Oh, girl. I know Lamarck like he's my best friend. Don't even
come for me. Wow, because I'm more of a Darwin guy, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But what I mean to say is let's let go of stress. It doesn't really serve a very good function in our lives. So let's just say we don't need it. It's hurting us. Put it away.
until you're jumping off a cliff.
Okay, so we know that the worst thing to ever say to someone if they're stressed is to do that.
Oh yeah, we literally talked about
that. Not be stressed. But
what was successful was them realizing that the stress and anxiety specifically is actually not benefiting them, because people who are over anxious and stressed go through scenarios in their head because they think it helps them prepare for things. So in a similar way, knowing that stress is not a functional tool,
it's
actually
to run away from a cheetah.
It hurts you in the long run. It makes you less healthy. It makes you less, not successful, but in the moment of what you're trying to accomplish, it'll make you less successful.
Well, it clouds
at
your
that.
Vision.
In this way, if you know that, we're telling you to let go of your stress.
Yeah, but my point was that we need to actually give them some tangible things to do, because you can't just say, don't be stressed.
Okay, well,
you're allowed to address that stress is bad.
Okay. Well, let's start it with some tips then, okay? I have number one. Are you okay if I go first?
Yeah.
I say increase mindfulness.
Oh my God, I've never heard that one. What's mindfulness?
You hear this a lot. It kind of sounds hokey and like bogus, but meditation and yoga and therapy have all been shown to reduce anxiety. And research suggests that daily meditation might actually alter neural pathways, making you more resilient to stress.
After I do yoga, I have something called yoga drunk, where if someone comes up to me and they say, Greg, I'm going to mug you, I say, mug me. You know, like, mug me. Take what? Wow, money is a construct. It doesn't even matter.
How long does that last for you?
An hour and a half.
And then you're like, get away from me.
Then I'm like, oh my God, I was just mugged. I hate everyone.
Get your own sandwich.
Yeah.
Do you practice mindfulness?
Nope.
No, me either. But like, in the few times that I have, like, it works. And then it's one of those things that's like, why don't I do it more
often? I was so spiritual in high school. I remember I used to like meditate. I had a fountain beside my bed, which my mom broke anyways, but that's another story. She also bought me it, so whatever, but I was so sad. I was like, you literally broke my mindfulness. But I used to meditate every night. I was so spiritual. And
you don't have to be spiritual to be mindful. Like, mindfulness maybe for some people they're similar and the same thing, but to me, mindfulness is just taking that time to like slow down, be grateful. Like,
I want to have that voice. You know, people who are mindful and they're just like, hello. Like, I feel like people who are mindful are like, let's do some mindfulness.
For
and
sure.
I love that voice. I want that voice.
That's a nice voice. But what I would say is that puts some people off. But I would just say,
people who probably don't meditate.
No, that's true. But I would say you don't have to be that version of mindfulness to get the benefits of it.
But I want to be.
But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the other reasonable people here, Gregory.
Okay.
That you can just take your time. Have, even if it's 5 minutes every morning where you just kind of sit and think through like why things are good and just kind of focus and zone out. I think that's good.
I love a zone.
I wish I'd try that. All right. What's next?
Okay. Number two, this one's easy and it works. It's deep breaths. Okay. So when stress hormones are released, exactly, just like that. When stress hormones are released, you experience physical symptoms such as a faster heartbeat. Thank you, fight or flight. Thank you, adrenaline. Thank you, cortisol.
No, thank you.
But I mean, that's what makes your heartbeat faster. You breathe quicker, again, to get oxygen to your muscles so you can fight a cheetah. You have constricted blood vessels. Same reason. But deep breathing exercise actually help activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite of the sympathetic. Sympathetic is the one that goes into hyperdrive when you're stressed. Parasympathetic is the rest and digest one. So it helps you get into that parasympathetic mindset, literally, neurologically, which controls the relaxation response and counters the effects of stress by slowing down your heart rate and lowering your blood pressure. So this one is very easy. Deep breaths is something that I do before.
But do you think maybe you could combine it with your mindfulness? Because I feel like people just don't think it's unless
no,
you make it a routine.
This one's good for like, because I do comedy now. Okay. About to go on stage.
Like you just
like,
kind of
yeah,
slow
you
down.
I don't want to be like mindful.
Breathing.
I'm trying
no,
to be.
Okay, fair.
It's like I'm
going
to deep breathe.
Yes.
And my body actually, like, you start to feel so much more relaxed. You get on stage, you're less stressed. This one's good before like a job interview, that kind of stress.
Well, I would say it's good long term as well. Like, that definitely is a useful one right before you do something stressful, like an exam. But I've also heard that, not to promote smoking,
yeah,
I don't believe in it, but people who smoke deep breathe a lot more, so they carry a lot less tension in their shoulders and neck than people who don't smoke, because, I've noticed, like, I don't deep breathe a lot, but sometimes I think about that night. I go, oh, geez, I should be doing this, and I think if you practice it on a regular basis and just, you know, every time you think about it, just give yourself some deep breaths, you'll be maybe a little less anxious throughout
the
day.
That's why yoga is also great, because it forces you to deep breathe.
That's true. Just to think about it and to be
conscious. Oh, my God,
conscious.
Maybe we're stressed because we stopped going to yoga. Okay, whoa.
Okay, signing up for yoga right now.
What is the next one?
All right, number three This one tickles my fancy. It is adopt a pet. Or, like, have a pet.
If you have the means.
If you have the means, of course. Maybe you have
financial stability.
Of course. Maybe you have access to seeing or visiting a pet.
Foster a pet.
Or becoming a dog walker. Or, yeah. Like, you don't necessarily have to own it yourself. Because that, to be honest, in and of itself can give you a lot more stress in other ways.
So, or you're on the street, you say, hello, Mrs. Or
in the park,
Mr.
Can I say
can
hi
I pet
to
your
dog?
Dog?
And so interacting with pets has been shown to release oxytocin, which is a brain chemical that promotes a positive mood. And research does suggest that dog owners, as an example, are less stressed than their puppyless counterparts.
I think that's true. Now that I have a dog, when I am stressed and I see this little being looking at me, I'm like, you're so simple.
Truly.
Yeah.
Life the amount is of times I feel like you're so cute. Like just that feeling of like, wow, oh, I love you so much. That feeling has never gotten less with a dog. And
but then other times when it barks when I don't want it to, I want to pick it up and throw it out a window.
Stop saying it. His name is Ernie.
Gender neutral.
No, I think that it's a good point to know. Obviously, animals and pets can cause more stress, but there's an element of them that I think is like a mental type of
therapy. And pet owners can relate to the
and
therapeutic
And many people
aspect.
Have dogs that are therapy pets because they're there for them. And some of those dogs are trained to be therapy pets, so not any pet can be a therapy pet.
But our dog is a therapy pet for us for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're even when I'm alone, I'm never alone. I always have someone to love and look at and smile at and kiss, you know? All right, Greg, what's
but
next?
But sometimes I'm like, Ernie, do you understand death? And I don't think he does. Okay, so the next one is the next one is people who would understand death, friends and family. So a what dog can them? Only do so much, you know? It's a simple being. But friends and family, they're complex. They have the same beautiful, large, billowing, raveled brains that we have, so we can connect to them in a different way. And so being part of a friend network is extremely important. So you gotta get some friends. Everyone can. There's people out there for everyone. Gives you a sense of belonging and self-worth, which can help you in tough times, obviously. Confiding in a friend or a family. One study found that women, in particular, spending time with friends and children helped release oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, as it said, which is a natural stress reliever. And this effect is called the tend and befriend effect, which is the opposite of fight
tend
or flight.
Tend and befriend.
Yeah. So,
cute.
When you're feeling that fight or flight response, you're feeling stressed, you're feeling the blood pumping, go tend and befriend. Call a friend. Something that doesn't happen anymore. People don't call each other anymore. If my phone rings, I don't pick it up. I need to pick it up.
I truly don't pick it up. I'm like, I will listen to the voicemail because I have anxiety over
and all my friends are like, you're so addicted to your phone. Like, when are you not around your phone? If I'm
it's
calling
like you're
you,
look, you can
I'm
see
looking
they're
at
calling.
It. Yeah.
I have to admit something. I think this is maybe a problem. I've listened. I think there was a Hidden Brain episode about it's much harder for men to have those intimate types of relationships. Even though I'm a gay man, I find when I'm stressed, I actually become more of an introvert. Like,
I've noticed that about you.
It's much harder for me. I feel, I guess, vulnerable, and as a result, I don't want to see my friends. But then when I do, when I'm pushed to for whatever reason, like say I have to go to an event where it's with friends, I'm always happier after. I always go like, thank God I went to this
event. I feel like that's not I mean, I can see the Hidden Brain said that, but I
maybe
am
you're
the
right.
opposite. When I feel stressed, that's when I need friends. Like sometimes I feel bad because I know, for example, I don't pick up my phone, but like I do, but like I don't. But like when I am stressed is when I would call people that I sometimes feel bad that I feel like my friends who I know who I can rely on, who I would call, would pick up and be like, oh yeah, of course. Now when you know what I mean? Now when you need something here.
Right.
Like I definitely tend and befriend is one that I definitely live by. But I know that in you, but I don't know if it's like,
it
you know what I mean? Like
gender
it's
thing.
Different than the way you were raised or other things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I just think it's a mix of like knowing yourself and then what your desires are. So you know yourself, you need it, and then your actual desire matches that.
Mm-hmm. But everyone does need it, but it's harder
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. So I think I know I need it, but then my desire pushes me, like my natural
instinct.
He's
afraid of vulnerability.
It might be that. I don't know why. I just always been thinking like, I just have to like work through this myself. But yeah, anytime I see friends.
Well, we're taught that it's bad.
Even if I don't talk to my friends about it, just being around people makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, because they're going to make
but
you
I can't
your troubles feel small.
Sorry to ramble about this, but you know when it's like why you learn a lesson over and over and over, but for some reason it doesn't stick? That's one of them for me.
But you
every
are,
time I see friends, I feel better, but then every time I'm stressed or anxious, my instinct has never rerouted to go see friends.
Because, well, we are in couples therapy, and so we're learning a lot about each other. It's great. Everyone should go to it. But you are an emotional person. Yeah. So I think that's what happens is your emotions
just
can get carried away. And
yeah.
So when you are upset, you're speaking rashly now because you're not upset. But when you are upset, you will become irrational. And that's the hardest part for people. You
literally.
Have to remember this. Like, this is science. Like, It's if you are stressed, these things work. Like, and I sometimes I know my issue is that whenever you're upset, I'm like, I'm going to be pragmatic. Okay, not to compare me to Barack Obama, but you to Michelle Obama. No, but recently, because I love that Michelle Obama has been on a press tour, because like obsessed, like she's the coolest person in the world. So she's been trying to promote her book, and she was talking about her relationship with Barack Obama and how everyone's like hashtag relationship goals, but she's like, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And she said that if you're in a relationship for 50 years and 20 of them are good, you're doing something right. Like, aww, that was so cute. But she said that her, same thing, Michelle Obama is extremely emotional. She's upset. She needs to be left alone. Barack Obama, me,
turns into pragmatic.
Is extremely pragmatic. He says, okay, well, this is what you need to do. These are pragmatic things you need to do. But it's okay if you're upset to understand that sometimes you're an emotional person. That's who you are. It's hard. But if you can get
Isn't
to this,
that,
but...
That's the crux of the problem for people like myself who are emotional, is that even though I know these will work, your emotions, like, it's so hard to fight against
But
them.
Then give yourself the time and then call
that's
friends
true.
In an hour.
Yeah, that's true. For anyone out there that feels this way, I guess that's the answer. It's like, it's okay to have your alone time when you calm down, because it takes me a while to calm down from being upset
oh,
about something.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Don't go in the room when
but
he's upset.
But then I'm able to, like, view it in a new way, and as long as you give yourself that time. Okay, number five is write it out. So keeping a journal has actually been shown to relieve stress as well due to its meditative and reflective effects. So like a gratitude journal, I kind of mentioned it before with mindfulness, but it's that idea of just taking the time, writing down your thoughts, putting it out there. It really is just like spending the time. I think the biggest problem is that with stress, anxiety, with so many problems in our life, life is so fast that you just forget to put time. That's
I remember like leadership programs, like when I was in high school, back when I was meditating to Radiohead's Kid A with a fountain beside my bed. I also was in programs where they were like, you need to journal. And I'm sometimes like, I'm so envious of how like freaking smart I was when I was young. But you know what I mean? It's because I was actually actively playing with this idea of life and journaling and meditating, and I felt so connected to like the world. And I thought, oh, it's because I didn't have a prefrontal cortex yet and I was young and my brain wasn't developed. But it's like, no, maybe when we're young, we're so much more in tune with things for a variety of hormonal reasons. But
and like, it feels good to do
it,
right?
And like now I'm like, well, when could I journal? It's like, get off my effing phone and journal. Like, I loved journaling when I was younger.
I don't journal either. I've never journaled.
It helps put things into perspective. When you write out things about your life, it can really also help you be like, yeah, those big deals seem small when you read them on paper. When you reflect on things that have stressed you out, you start to like talk through them in a way where you're like, oh my God, that was so in my head.
I wonder if another alternative, because I'm just thinking like, I don't love writing things down, that maybe just recording little voice notes to yourself or just talking out loud through your problems. Because I think sometimes even the benefit of therapy is that, like, you could have a bad therapist. I've had I've had ones that I didn't feel were that effective. But even just the act of being somewhere and talking out loud through my problems was, like, a useful tool that kind of matches.
That's what you
this.
Do. That's what friends and family, like, friend to be friend is, too. You talk to people. You talk about your issues.
You start to walk through your own problems and go, like, oh, now that I'm speaking out loud, it's so much easier to objectively look at this and feel good that I've just got it out there.
So the last one is one that I do all the time, but you have to be careful because sometimes it can lead to panic attack. it's called zoom out. So it's when you think about your life, it's a little bit nihilist, but you think, okay, if we zoom out of this world, out of this galaxy, out of this universe, I mean, into the, you know, expanse that is space, it starts to make your problems feel very small. So if you're, this is another one I do for like comedy, for example, or for a really scary interview or a specific, like we're about to go live on a TV show. It's like, okay, let's zoom out. This doesn't matter.
Yeah. Even the worst case scenario, this doesn't matter.
This is fight or flight. This is literally cortisol. This is ACTH. This is what's happening. These are hormones. It's biological. I'm just a little measly animal on this big world. Relax, and it can help me sort of have like a confidence on stage, for example, as opposed to being like, oh my God, this is such an important thing. There's people here
the
who are going to judge me.
So
blah, blah, blah.
High.
Yeah, it's decreasing the stakes. But if you zoom out too far, you might be like, what's the point in life? So you got to come back from that And that's a delicate balance. That's a little game of ping pong that we're playing all the time.
You could even zoom out to the stake of your own life. Like, there's so many moments that I thought were so significant in my life. And it's not that they weren't, but in the grand scheme of things, if they had gone bad, if they had gone really great, it wouldn't like make or break my life. There's very few moments in your life, unless they're like a dangerous moment where you could hurt yourself severely. I feel like very few things in your life are going to destroy your life forever. So just kind of stepping back, even if it's not to the scale of the universe, but to the scale of like, look, this one
the
moment
room,
in my life is important to me right now,
yeah,
but it's not always
oh,
going
yeah,
to be
my life,
and
my
I'll
life.
Laugh at it in the future, or I'll cry at it, but that's okay.
That's another thing I used to be so good at. I feel like me and one of my best friends, Allie, we were so good. Just laugh. Whenever I'm in an uncomfortable situation, just get excited to laugh. Get excited to laugh.
Yeah, you told me that once. That stuck with me sometimes, where it's like, even when you're in a situation that is so crappy, just remember how
I've lost
eventually
that.
You will be able to turn this into a really funny story.
I was so much funnier before I
kind of like
science.
Bangladesh. Like, yeah, it's like in that moment it's scary, but you go, this is going to become the best story.
ASAP Science
that we're never
has
forget.
Messed with us. It's made everything so serious and scary because the stakes seem so high because there's so many people.
Okay, yeah, we need to take these notes
in. We need to chill. I know.
Because it is true. Like, every moment, every video feel, but then always in the past, or sorry, in the future, you're like, that wasn't a big deal.
No, it doesn't. The next ASAP Science videos, literally, we're just going to be like, whatever, man. Like, we're like, let's not even edit it. You know what I mean? Just put it on paper. Let people see the process. Honestly, I'm at that point right now that you're going to see some weird videos coming out. Because I'm like, whatevs. Whatevs. Different episode. But the algorithm is insane right now. Who cares? Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Okay, so we hope that you took something from that.
Yeah, hopefully
one thing
that was useful.
We definitely want, because these are the ones that we stuck out to us, # side note podcast. Let us know how you deal with stress. Because 2019 is going to be the year of meditation, the year of, you know, relaxation, the year of fight or flight disappearing, the year of rest and digest, tend and befriend, becoming the adjectives that I use every day. And I want some more skills from you.
Yeah, I would love to see that too, because it's always easier to take it from someone else. Like, it's easy to give advice, but it's hard to take it your own advice. So I would love to see other people's tweets. So what actually
shine
works,
a
what
mirror
actually
on
works.
Us.
Yes, give us that mirror so we can evaluate ourselves. And I just want to improve. I'm sure everyone else does.
I'm saying it now. I'm deleting Instagram. I'm deleting Twitter.
That's a full
I'm deleting ASAP Science on YouTube right now. Bye, guys. I'm just kidding.
Right, thank you so much for listening. We hope this was useful. We hope it was fun. Stress is stressful, but it can also be funny if you look at it in the right light. And hopefully it's given you some stress release, this podcast. If you want to follow us, it's at Mitchell Moffitt and at Will Watch Me PLZ.
You will hear from us next week with a new controversial subject. Oh, I can't wait for next week. It's going to be good.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.